Hello and welcome to Reddit on Reddit, the internet's auditory version of Reddit. I'm Nelson Allingham, joined by Michael Cambo Campbell.
What is going on, Nelson?
We're a bit hyper.
Yeah. Remember? I just had a little bit of Gatorade, so I'm all sugared up.
Oh my god.
Do you think it's weird?
I just did some cocaine.
Do you think it's weird? I imagine that most podcasts just start recording and then add everything in later. But we listen to our theme song every single time we start the podcast.
Yeah.
We're having a bit of a dance.
I know. It was good. Yeah. We hope that you, listener, also have a dance.
Yeah, please.
And if you don't, make one up.
You've got homework for next week.
Yeah, exactly. Send in your video for your intro dances. We won't take any, like, Macarena knockoffs or something. It's not good enough for us. Originals only. Thanks.
I will take a Macarena knockoff. Okay. I have lower standards.
Okay, fine. Well, I won't, so I don't know. I guess.
Send it to me.
Yeah. What'd you get up to this weekend? I forgot the format. Yeah. Forgot the format of our show.
Well, it's been, what, 43 shows now? 42, 43? What are we up to?
40, yeah, I don't know. Anyway. That's how long it's been.
Like a marriage, we've stopped counting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not 50 yet, because I feel like we might have noticed that. But like, it's
50. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Then after 50, you'll be like, well, we'll just, when we get to 100, that's when we'll know. Yeah.
Exactly. look, I didn't have a super interesting week. I'll level with you now, Nelson.
Oh.
But my brother, the eldest brother, has recently installed in his house a home cinema.
Oh.
But like a proper, you know, screen mounted on the wall projector home cinema.
That's cool.
So we decided to have a bit of a movie night. And we watched a really cool movie called Train to Busan. Have you ever heard of this movie, Nelson?
No.
Now, I'm going to give it a recommendation.
Okay.
Because it's on Netflix, so you can watch it right bloody now.
Official Reddit on Reddit recommendation.
It's a Korean film.
Okay.
And it is about a zombie outbreak on a train.
Oh,
and
okay.
It is very, very good. I really, really enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Very intense. It's kind of got that World War Z style of like wave zombies that like crawl over each other and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah, really desperate to like get to people.
Yeah, but it's it works better than World War Z, I thought, because they're in such a tight, confined, like on a train, that they are just kind of crawling over each other. But very kind of intense as well.
So would you say it's more of an action-y thing or more of a horror-y thing?
I suppose
you'd describe it as a thriller, probably,
general. It's probably more, I guess, it's quite emotional, actually, as well.
Oh, okay.
But I would say it's more of a, maybe an action thing.
Yeah, okay.
That being said, it's quite intense as well.
Right.
There's some great moments of, no sound, like, you know, silent tension sneaking through.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a really good movie. So, kind of an intense Korean zombie train movie. If that is your thing.
Yeah.
How lucky are you?
Specifically that. Wow, they made one just for you.
You must be hanging out all the time for them to make new Korean zombie train-based movies.
You've probably already watched it, though, haven't you? If that's your thing, you don't need the recommendation. Like, yeah, I'm all over it. I've been waiting for this for years.
There's so few of these. I know when they come out.
Yeah, exactly.
But for everyone else, check it. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Train to Busan.
Okay. Do you know what I would like more movies of? No, not more of. Do you know what I would like English adaptions of?
Right.
Is Bollywood films.
Yeah.
Bollywood films are like 20 genres in one. And there is like singing and dancing the whole time.
Yep.
It's so fun.
Yep. Bollywood films are, they don't always work, I must say. I've seen a few Bollywood films mainly as like a, almost just incidentally through where I used to work. We used to play a lot of Bollywood films. And
well, all the super popular ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the ones we'd get anyway. We didn't get them.
But I mean, just speaking of foreign cinema in general, last week was Bastille Day, and obviously being the French public holiday on Bastille Day, I made my girlfriend watch The Intouchables.
Oh, such a good movie.
It's a great movie, but that is a movie I don't think does need a remake, despite the fact it's getting one. I don't know
what,
if you know
what?
This.
It's not even that old.
But instead of, obviously, Omar Sy plays the main character, who is the caretaker of a man in a wheelchair.
And he's paraplegic.
He's so charming and likable. The whole movie essentially rests on his performance being so good. Likable and so charming. But in the remake that's happening, he's being played by Kevin Hart.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So take that for what it's worth, Nelson.
Yeah. No, that's terrible. Mm.
What about you? What did you get up to?
Played poker with some friends. And it was pretty annoying.
Right, okay. Hope you weren't illegally gambling money, Nelson.
So, we'd never do that. Actually, I don't know what the laws are around that. Anyway, we gambled with money. Yeah.
What are you going to do about it, cops?
You put in $20 and then somebody...
Wins the pot.
Yeah. Although, you normally split it between like first, second, and third.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of people there. This friend of mine puts it on like once every couple of months, maybe.
Yeah. Obviously, I was invited. I was just too busy.
But that was that night that you were really busy. You're watching The Untouchables.
Yeah.
So the thing was about halfway through the night, it was like really cold. It was a really cold night. And about halfway through the night, or not even halfway through, there was still a lot of people. We actually even split it up between two tables because there was quite a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
My table still had almost every person in, and the other table had almost every person still in. I was like, oh man, this is going to go on for a really long time, like past midnight,
right.
Probably past 1 a.m. sort of thing. And I was like, I'm just not really in the mood for this.
Yeah.
So at some point, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go all in on a hand. But because I don't really like being one of those people, and if you're a poker player listening, you'll know this. You don't want to be one of those sort of bad poker players in a way where you just go all in on a stupid hand and then, you end up winning. It kind of ruins it. That was partly what ruined it for me that night as well. Because there was a few people who didn't know how to play, and it actually ruins kind of the fun of poker, because when you've got somebody that's completely random, you're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So then I was waiting for like ages to just get the right hand to go all in, went all in, won it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, yes, that was definitely a chance of happening. And then we ended up going later, and then they were like, all right, we'll merge the tables together, because eventually some people went out.
Yeah.
But we'll have a break, in the meantime. So I'm like, oh my God, this is just prolonging my agony of still accidentally playing poker when I don't want to. Luckily though, just only a little while after our break and we got back to the poker, I lost out. And I went in and I had a straight in the end, but somebody else had a flush. So it was like I was trying. really. And then so it was so funny because somebody's like, so it's such an unfortunate hand, because I had a straight. It's like pretty good hand. And I was like, nah, it's fine. I've been trying to go out for a while. So. And they're like, okay. I'm like, no, seriously, I'm totally fine with this.
It's kind of like having a job where you want to make it look like you're trying, but also you just want to get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people are like, wow, great work.
And I'm assuming the people that you play poker with don't listen to the podcast.
Maybe some of them do.
Look, we'll find out if we get an angry email.
I don't know. They can't be that angry. I gave them $20.
Yeah, that's true. What more do you bloody want from us? And we plugged your poker.
Exactly. You're a legal poker night. All right, Cambo. Let's get into Reddit on Reddit.
Yep, that's what this podcast is about.
That's what it's about. This is by Thrifty AF.
Oh.
And what it was a photo of a like a wooden round circle.
Yep. A round circle.
A round circle. And it was given to this person as a wedding present. I didn't put that here, but that's what it was. Like as a guest to all guests.
Okay.
And on the cover, it was kind of like, it was kind of like a cover for this wooden circle.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on the cover it said, "One genuine round to it." Spelled T-U-I-T is to it. And then on the round to it, it said, "This is a round to it. Guard it with your life. Tuits are hard to come by, especially the round ones. It will help you become a much more successful person. For years, you've heard people say, 'I'll do this when I get around to it.' Now that you have one, you can accomplish all those things you have put aside until you got this round to it."
All right.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, but also I'd be like,
what else did I get?
Yeah. This is my wedding. What are you doing cute jokes for?
Well, no, so this was from the bride and groom to all the people, you know. So normally that's just like a token present.
Right.
So thanks, but this is worthless.
Yeah. You give me a bit of wood.
Well, yeah, exactly. I could put it on a fire, I guess.
This out when I get around to it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I've got around to it.
Yes. No,
here we go. But I thought it was pretty nice as well. Definitely rip off, but totally nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've received a jam of jar from a wedding. I probably would have preferred that.
A jam of jar.
That. Yeah, jam of jar. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sticking to it.
Okay. I'm trying to imagine what that's like.
Yeah. A jar of jam.
Oh, wow. that's what you meant. Okay.
If someone gave me a ram, but it would, I'd be like, I'm not taking this.
It's one of those.
He's going to have, at the end of the reception, there's going to have a bunch of wood left over. And they're like,
it took us a really long time to carve all those and. Maybe. It's actually way more expensive than it looked.
Maybe they didn't get it.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. But see, I thought my... the wedding presents that I've got from other weddings is... I feel like a classic one. I don't know why. And I think it's maybe like...
Probably
an Italian woggy thing. Yeah, a jam of jar. Yeah. Do you know, I'm determined to make that my wedding gift to people. I don't know how it's going to work. It'd be like, I'll freeze jam in the shape of a jar and then have a smaller jar on the inside. And they'll just melt over time during the night and they'll just be...
And you'll just be looking at everyone like, get it? Did you listen to the podcast?
Episode 43 or something.
Everyone here listen to our podcast? Who is, hands up? Who's subscribed? Seriously, rate us.
That's funny. It'd be like, you know, one of those things where they're like, "Oh, you know, we've been living together for a while. We don't need wedding gifts.
Yeah.
Just, you know, give us some money to our wishing well." I'd be like, "Don't give us anything. Just rate us."
I feel like we do plug this podcast any chance that we get to people in our lives.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it beyond whatever's at our wedding. Be like, thanks everyone for coming. Thanks for the cousins that flew in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this, but me and Nelson have a podcast actually. If everyone just gets out their phone at the moment.
Actually,
every
Kendo,
Monday.
We've been tasked with emceeing a wedding.
We have.
It's definitely going to happen.
Interesting.
Every time we get up.
And in fact, that person has said, "Oh, I always listen to your podcast," which we've been a little dubious about.
Yeah.
So this is her official warning.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't want us to do this,
yeah,
just tell us.
Let us know. Because otherwise, definitely it's happening. and we'll let you listeners know if it happens.
Look, we'll podcast from the wedding if she doesn't say anything.
Yeah. That's right. On the bridal table. Yeah. You guys have got the most room here. We'll just scooch in.
Put the microphones and laptop down, excuse me.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, little gifts that I got. And then we got onto... Anyway, okay.
It's an Italian gift.
It's not really that important now. I think. Anyway, it's little chili flakes. I've seen from multiple weddings.
Yep.
Little chili flakes, which I don't know. I guess that's nice. Just seems like a weird thing.
One of my favorite...
Go ahead.
I was going to say one of my favorite gifts that we both received at the same wedding was a bag of donuts.
Donuts. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Did we get something else for that too?
Look, probably a wooden circle.
Cookies?
Cookies.
From
his mum.
Yeah. His mum. This guy's mum makes the best, what's it called? Shortbread.
Yep.
Cookies. Anyway, that's another story. but my brother gave everybody... thyme,
the herb. Right.
And
he didn't just sit with everyone for 2 minutes. We were like,
well, it was kind of like, hey, you gave us our thyme. We're giving you time.
But they're spelled differently. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's a real bad speller. But the best one I've got was not that long ago, and it was a little plant, and I believe in Chinese culture. Oh God, it could be maybe not Asian and Asian culture. It's
Eastern.
It represents
culture,
like a money tree,
right?
And it's meant to give you good fortune. That's the best thing.
Has it worked?
Well, oh, I got made redundant. Yeah, not that long afterwards, which gave me redundancy. Maybe it did.
Yeah,
I think it sort of did. Actually, man,
you've done it again, Eastern culture.
Hopefully, he has another wedding. I mean, you know, they're a great couple and stuff, and I hope they stay together. But you know, if I'm low on funds, I might just
it wouldn't kill
go
you.
Go over to his place and really start, you know. Oh, she making you take the garbage out again. Oh,
start cracking onto her.
yeah, that's right. And then, but then I need another girl for him as well.
Yeah, that's true. It's so complicated.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, all right, Kemba, have another one.
Okay.
This is by, oh crap, where did I put this? I can't remember which order I put this in. Sorry. We need thinking music. Okay, I think this is by Kevlar Yarmulk.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Okay. You'll realize why once I get through. Okay.
Yeah.
This was a photo of pencil, a packaged pencil.
Yeah.
And on the packaging, the front side, it said Russian space pen.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what this is about to go into?
The famous story about them.
Yeah. I'm about to go into it anyway, just for those who don't know, although I think it's a pretty famous story. But on the back of it, so on the back of the packaging, it says this. When NASA first started sending astronauts into space, they realized that the ballpoint pen would not work at zero gravity. $1 million investment and 2 years of tests resulted in a pen that could write in space, upside down, on almost any surface, and at temperatures ranging from below freezing to over 300 degrees Celsius. When confronted with the same problem, the Russians used a pencil. Mm-hmm. Oh, pretty smart, you might say.
I say that often.
Yeah, so do I. I've used this example before.
Yeah.
But wait, Cambo. Exposed.
Oh, the Russians being exposed.
So this was a screenshot, actually, of a screenshot sort of thing. Anyway, and there was a comment underneath, and this was by Basilton. Yeah, and okay. I think it was on Reddit. I think it was a comment on Reddit.
Right.
Could have been something else. Anyway, and Basilton wrote, in the early years of space flight, both Russians and Americans used pencils in space. Unfortunately, pencil lead is made of graphite, a highly conductive material. Snapped graphite leads and particles in zero gravity are hugely problematic, as they will get sucked into the end of ventilation or electronic equipment, easily causing shorts or fires in the pure oxygen environment of a capsule. After the fire in Apollo 1, which killed all the astronauts on board, NASA required a writing instrument that wasn't a fire hazard. Fisher spent over $1 million... of his own money, who was the inventor of this pen, Fisher pen, creating a pressurized ballpoint pen, which NASA bought at $295 each. The Russian space program also switched over from the pencil shortly after. 40 years later, snide morons on the internet still snigger about it because snide morons on the internet never know what they are talking about.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
That has just blown my mind.
Yeah.
I've always used that example of, that's why, you know, that like a funny thing and it's almost a metaphor of the, you know,
the American mentality,
the Occam's razor, I think they call it, where it's the most obvious answer correct one sort of thing, or the easiest. And so it's a good story.
Yeah.
But totally false.
Yeah. It's the first instance of fake news.
But yeah,
yeah,
fake news all that time again. I do think it's a bit mean of him to be like, oh, it's just snide morons on the internet. Like, I have never, I just wholeheartedly believed that when I was told that because I had no other reason not to.
Yeah.
To me, it just seemed like, yes, I could imagine the idea that, you know, America wanted to have something that would write perfectly in space, a pen would write in space, you know, because of the annoyingness of pencils. I don't know. Like, it just sort of made sense.
Well, what this does now is you now get to be one of our favorite things, which is a guy that says, well, actually.
Well, actually.
When someone brings that fact
you
up.
You snide moron. Yeah.
take a puff from your pipe and go, that's cute. Well, well, actually.
Yeah.
But then, because we can't remember all the facts, like, do you know about lead in space does fires?
Yeah. That's what killed the dinosaurs. Did you know that?
So then
I think that's what we're
the Americans did a 295 pen. So who's an idiot now?
Yeah, that's pretty much how that's gonna go.
Yeah. We'll half remember something about how that's not true, but not enough to really qualify us with any kind of expertise.
Yeah, that's right. I do think it's funny though that this guy, Fisher, spent over $1 million of his own money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sells it to NASA for $295. Like, they could afford more than that. Like, charge more. They were looking for this.
Yeah. He could have got $450 easy.
Easily. Just without even blinking an eye. Just straight
he's
up
like
said $450.
He doesn't know how to barter.
Exactly, yeah.
Could sold him in Thailand like we talked about last week.
NASA probably suggests that to him. How much is this? Like $295? He's like, yeah, I spent millions, but I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine.
It's about what they charge for a pen, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's $1 million.
Yeah.
How many did you guys need? I don't know, 50. Oh, I'm just going to do some maths.
Oh, God, this is going to cost so much.
They're $1 million each.
Yeah, it wasn't $1 million in research. It was $1 million for one. But although I do think that that small part in here shows the, potentially, I'm maybe reading into it, but the patriotism at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Because presumably he's like, he probably did spend millions of his own, own money. And he said to NASA, I'm just going to give this to you, essentially, because we need to beat the Russians to space, or to the moon, rather. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. Anyway, thought that was an interesting one.
Anyway, everything you've ever known is a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Question everything, people. That's what.
Except us. Do not. I repeat, do not question us.
We know everything.
Yeah.
All right.
We would never deceive you.
Yeah, that's right. Sort of. Okay. Well, Cameron, let's move into Today I Learned.
Okay. So now it's time for Today I Learned. What's the
intro to that? Today I Learned. This Today I Learned is by Soulforged Chew Toy. Okay.
Okay. Look, I'm not going to question him. Yep. That's fine.
It's fine. Okay. Today I learned that billionaire oil tycoon J. Paul Getty installed a payphone at his mansion for guests to use so that he would not be billed for their calls.
Jeez.
What a massive dick.
Yeah. How much do you think it is to get a payphone installed?
That was kind of my point.
Yeah.
I was like, that's going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where his guests were calling.
Yeah.
Maybe. But he's like, this is getting, it would just be cheaper to make a whole payphone out of this.
Maybe that's right. Maybe we're just misinterpreting this information.
Mm.
And actually, his neighbors were from like South Africa.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I'm just going to make a call home.
Yeah. We'll be an hour or so.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. And they're always coming at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, sorry, it's just the right time over there. It's like, I guess so.
Our phone is never working and there's no payphone around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. But that's kind of the point as well, though. It's like, surely people weren't making long distance or expensive phone calls because you don't really make those on a payphone anyway.
Yeah.
It's like you got a couple of quarters. You put it in. I don't know. It just seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think this is a lesson for how to become a billionaire.
Right.
Or a millionaire. Well, you know, just have a bit of extra change. Is be essentially
a prick.
Be cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. Be prick. Yes. That's sort of, I guess that sort of accidentally, naturally comes with
right,
it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But, see, I have one of my family friends is quite rich, well off for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he always buys things from Aldi.
Yep.
And, or just, like, tries to get cheap stuff.
Yep.
And it's not, like, he's totally nice guy, right? And he doesn't have the prick factor.
Yeah.
I can guarantee he doesn't have the prick factor.
Oh, that
right?
was just me general.
No, but you're right. Like, I think that there are a lot of pricks out there that are, like, cheap tight asses and stuff. But, you know, he's a nice guy, but it's just like he understands, you know? He does earn a ton of money, but he just goes, yeah, but why squander it on things that, you know, not... Don't spend money on things that you don't need, essentially. Yeah.
There was an interesting breakdown infographic one time of different billionaires. There was Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and people like that who are all obviously billionaires.
Yeah.
Like, just insanely rich. Mm. And they broke down everything that they were wearing.
Right.
He was in like a $15 hoodie.
Yeah.
He was in a $5 t-shirt. He was in $20 shoes. You know, Bill Gates was in like a $30 sweater.
Yeah.
None of them were wearing anything extravagant. The watch he was wearing was like a Casio watch.
Yeah, exactly.
For a long time, Mark Zuckerberg lived in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, that's right. It's that understanding of money, I think, that after a certain point, and it's probably those really smart people that, you know, are able to, you know, they're creating technology that's amazing stuff because it's almost like ingrained in them this idea of value and, you know, their mind just works differently in other sense. I don't need the expensive stuff. It's the idiots that need the expensive stuff.
They don't need $200 shoes.
Do you know what? This is my tip for everybody at home is get home brand of everything.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one home brand thing that is not just as good as the branded stuff. Like I had just yesterday, I bought a 4-bean mix. And it was like 70 cents or something for a can.
Mm-hmm.
And then below it was the branded one. It was like $3 something. What can you possibly have?
They have a secret fifth bean.
I don't know what it was. But I was like, this is just blows my mind. The beans are exactly the same. I don't understand.
Do you know what I enjoy about home branded things?
What's that?
Is that their product will just give you a really accurate description of what you're buying.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a packet. There was one I saw the other day. It's a packet. It said chicken flavored chips.
Yeah. Good.
Yep. So I can't be confused.
That's good.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm getting.
Just in big bold letters as well. No fancy. No image of a little chicken on the side. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Don't need that stuff. Anyway, I thought that was a funny one. Bloody, it's a good tip.
Yep.
So what I say. And when you're all billionaires, share it with us.
Yeah, please.
Be nice. Okay. Cambit, I have another one here. This is by Durs the Rower. I don't know. Probably. Or Durs the Rower. Anyway, today I learned that after the release of the 1996 film Scream, which involved an anonymous killer calling and murdering his victims, caller ID usage tripled in the United States.
Interesting.
Have you heard about that before?
You often know
movie facts.
That's true. I've never heard of the Scream one. There's similar ones where movies have affected things like this. Jaws famously, for 2 years after Jaws came out, beach attendance was down.
Really?
Like 70%. Yeah,
really?
that caused...
And then they made Jaws 2.
I know. Everyone's just coming back to the beaches and then the trailer for Jaws 2 comes out. Like all the people with stores on the beach like, oh, no.
we just
got over this.
Yeah, that's funny. I think that's where I was going with this, really. I actually know of another one, which is in Sideways, which is a movie about a wine connoisseur. He hates Merlot.
Yeah.
His character hates Merlot. And prices of Merlot just plummeted, absolutely plummeted to the point where it's like it almost destroyed Merlot in its existence. And I just thought that was so funny and crazy and almost scary.
Yeah, yeah.
How much influence just somebody... That's just a character in a movie.
If Paul Giamatti says he doesn't like a Merlot Nelson,
yeah,
it's wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah. And it is the... Yeah, just the idea of... Like, I'm so sure that even the writer of that script probably didn't care about... Probably didn't think Merlot was a bad drink.
Yeah.
But just thought, well, this character needs, you know, that little extra element about them, you know, as we've written some things before, and when you're creating a character, sometimes it's even the smallest things
there's a term called put an eye patch on him, which means give him something distinct that is like unique.
Yeah.
And if the character isn't that interesting, you put an eye patch on him and suddenly you're like, how did he lose the eye? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. If this guy, give him something. Oh, he hates Merlot. Why do you hate Merlot? That's interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. Some sort of something. And that's the thing as well. I'm pretty sure from memory, it's been a very long time since I watched that film, but I don't think he even, explains why he dislikes Merlot. He just says,
"Yeah, it's just a character."
He's like, "I don't like Merlot." Blah blah blah. You know, it's like, what? Why are people so influenced by this? But then again, I reckon that's why. You see, especially these days, a lot of advertising within movies can be
product placement. People using Michael Bay is the king of product placement.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
I remember there's like a Windows thing on one of his, something that he did. I remember the really obvious Windows shirt.
Yep, there's a lot of it.
Something. Probably
I haven't seen the latest Transformers, but the one before it, there was a scene where Mark Wahlberg crashes into a truck of Coors beer and causes an accident. And the guy's yelling at him, and he stops the guy from yelling at him to scull a Coors beer. Yeah.
So funny.
He literally stops the movie so he can have a beer.
Yeah. And goes, that's refreshing.
Look, it's not far off, I'll be honest with you.
Bet you can get this at all your local stores. Wink.
Also, Marvel do a lot of product. Every single car that Tony Stark drives is an Audi.
Well, because I think the thing is now, you don't, you know, some movies don't look for it. Like, you know, I'm totally biased, obviously, because I really love the Marvel movies. Yeah. But I feel as though they don't do it to the detriment of the movie. You know, it's just like the cause thing. That's way too obvious. That's just so stupid.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Tony Stark driving an Audi all the time, you know, that's fine because obviously he's going to drive nice cars anyway.
Right.
Audi probably said to Marvel, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of cars and a bunch of money. How do you feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, cool. I think that sort of placement is fine. But and it obviously shows that. If things like this can be, you know, manipulated, like the Scream thing, the Jaws thing, the Merlot, then maybe it isn't so crazy. Because I don't watch one of these films and go, oh man, I want to buy an Audi.
Yeah.
Because Tony Stark does. But I imagine there's probably some people that think that, or maybe even subconsciously.
Yeah.
You know, just the idea of like, maybe you don't realize it at the time, but you go to an Audi store. You're thinking to buy a car.
That's the car that Tony Stark has.
And and they might even have like a little poster or something. Yeah. You know, this is like, and I maybe understand that.
Famously as well, a lot of people after the first James Bond movie came out would go and try and buy the suit that James Bond wore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But now obviously all the James Bond movies are sponsored by different companies that make suits and watches. For that reason, you're like, oh, he looks so cool with that watch. I want to go buy that watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the movie, someone says, what are you wearing? He says, that's an Omega.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Where can you buy it? How much is
it? Yeah. There's a little link comes down the bottom of the website.
Yeah, that's right.
The movie just stops. He looks at the camera for a while.
Yeah. Get out your phones.
You there in the theater.
Yeah.
Look this up. It's important.
That'd be next level, right? If like the next scene of the movie was on an advertiser's website. Had to go through. Just watch another scene.
To continue this scene, go to the link on the screen.
Yeah. See, that'd be... We're onto something.
Yeah, I think so. have you ever seen... There's a movie called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. It's by Morgan Spurlock, the guy that made Super Size Me. The full name of the movie is Pom Wonderful Presents The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. And it's a movie about product placement in films. And the idea is that he funded the film completely with brands featured in the documentary that would sponsor the film.
Right, That is, that's a good one. I remember they did, they started doing things where they were digitally putting into old TV episodes product placement. Yeah. So like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yep.
They'd make sure that the can he was drinking would... I was like, man, the effort that you'd have to go into to do that would just be so hard. But I don't know. Like I said, this kind of shows it works. So yeah. What we're saying is buy Monopoly. And LA Ice.
Buy Tesla cars.
And Tesla cars. But we should move on to our next segment, Camber. Okay. Brought to you by Tesla cars. actually, maybe that's a good idea. To get Elon Musk onto the show.
Yeah.
Hey, free product placement.
Yeah.
Talk about your cars on our show.
Yeah.
People will want to buy them.
What if we just start every episode saying that we're sponsored by Tesla cars?
Okay.
Until finally representatives like, Elon, do you know about this podcast that is sponsored by...
Yeah.
And he'll just have to listen.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And, anyway. And he'll listen to the I love you questions, which we'll get onto later, and fall in love with us.
Yeah. We've got him.
He'll be a regular. God, this plan is foolproof. All right, Gambit. Let's move on to Shower Thoughts.
Shower thoughts, shower thoughts, shower thoughts, thoughts, shower thoughts, thoughts.
And this shower thought is brought to you by Arnott's Shapes.
Arnott's. I love that crunch. I guess. That's pretty good, right?
I think it's flavor, you can see.
I think they changed it too. I love that crunch. Okay. This shower thought is by Runts. Seeing my password in plain text feels like seeing somebody naked that I'm not supposed to.
Yeah.
I do. I feel really weird about that. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel it's one of those things that I feel my password is way less secure if I can read my own password.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I used to think it was stupid, and I still sometimes hate it because I'm like, oh, man, if I'm like one letter off, I've mistyped a few times, you know, then if I could see it, it'd be so much easier. But for some reason, and I was doing one the other day, and it was where you could like click on or off whether you wanted to see the password or not. I was like, what's the point of this? Like, obviously, it's very insecure because you can do it regardless.
Yeah.
But really, it's just it's so stupid. I don't know.
What do you think of the ones where you can see the letter until you type the next letter?
They seem more secure than seeing it all the time.
Yeah.
But less secure than never seeing it, than it always just being little asterisks.
More concerned.
Asteri.
That I'm always more concerned that I've spelt things wrong if I can see the letter than it disappears. I'm like, oh wait, what was that?
Okay.
But weirdly, if I never see the letters, I'm always confident that I've spelt it right.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe I've done that before. I hate it when you have one that you can't see.
Yeah.
And maybe you're just typing it. Maybe it's a different password than you think it is. So you type it in a few times, you're like, oh my God, I must be doing this wrong. And then there's been times where I even like count how many asteri there are to be like, is this the right amount of letters for the thing? Anyway, it's very annoying.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think of password sections that don't tell you the caps lock is on?
Oh, should be shut down immediately.
Taken off the internet.
Taken off the internet. It is really annoying. Just let me know. Or don't. Get rid of caps lock.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. We've got shift.
Shift. It's fine. If I want to type something in all caps lock, like a sentence, I just hold down shift and use the rest of my fingers to type.
I actually saw someone the other day, someone our age that still, if they're doing a capital letter at the start of a name or something, they put caps lock on, hit that letter, turn caps lock off and keep typing.
Oh my God. Did you please tell me you slapped that person?
I didn't, but
are you going to?
I questioned them for minutes on end.
Okay, good.
About why they do that.
It's so bizarre. Anyway, it's so inefficient. Oh God, I have this theory of that. Oh God, this is going to go off on a tangent. Okay, it's only very. I'm just going to shorten it.
We never go off in tangents, so indulge yourself.
Okay, basically, I feel like. Our generation,
yeah,
rather, is we work smarter, not harder.
Right.
And I feel like our parents' generation, they worked harder, not smarter. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Not calling them idiots, but there's things. I was talking to my friend the other day, and he was saying how he was like cutting branches off a tree with his dad. And he was saying, oh, it's just taking forever. He said to his dad, I think we can just set up these like hockey straps. And he tried to explain it to me. I didn't really get it. And like put them in, and then you cut a bunch of these like branches in one go. And I thought that was funny. And then just because I've been working with my dad a lot, I think there's some things where I will spend a little longer on something like, Excel. Everybody knows like a good Excel spreadsheet. And then I will, spend a little bit more time on that. So it's way easier for me later on. Even if it's just things like writing a date, if I just write a date once and then it updates other fields or something in a thing, I'll write a formula so that it's much easier later on. But whereas, like my dad would do everything in a particular way. One thing actually, is scanning. Right. My dad is used to putting the piece of paper in the scanner, going over to the printer, pressing scan, and then, like saving the file from there. Whereas for me, it's more efficient to be like, okay, I'll send this to my email or something, at the printer, press scan. And I just reckon it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's the difference between the generations.
There's an example where I used to work, and I used to work with a lady that was a fair bit older.
Yeah.
And when it came to, it was to do with like petty cashing and things like that.
Yeah.
So you'd have to open up a certain field, fill in everything you're going to do and save it. Then you had to open up another document, also complete it and save it, so that would match up.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to her one day, I'm like, why don't you, when you do the first one, copy that information?
Yeah.
Then when you open the second one, you can just paste it.
Yeah.
She's like, no. You need to retype it out. Because then you need to know the information is right.
I'm yeah.
Like, no, you 100% already typed it. Because what you've done is you've just copied that information and you negate any mistake you could make.
Yeah, exactly.
In a second up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like that, yeah.
Like, I mean, older people are idiots.
Yeah, all of them.
Exactly. Are you an old person? You're an idiot. Okay, I have another shower thought here, Kembe. If the movie Yes Man was realistic, Jim Carrey would just end up downloading a bunch of malware. Oh, that was by Smash Bros. 34.
There you go.
I think this is true.
Yep.
But not just that. I think... Well, okay. Let me put this question to you, Kembe. Mm-hmm. How long after saying yes in your life do you think everything would just turn to shit?
It depends.
Just try and think of a regular day.
Yeah, okay.
Even just at work, right?
So let's say you wake up one morning. So you're in your house. Because obviously if you decided it's on the Vegas Strip, very quickly could it go off.
Different, yeah.
I'm trying to think what the first question of the day normally is.
Mm. The first time you like answer yes. Because I think that at the start, it would be pretty normal.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like you're... You
might get a little bit extra work. Yeah, hey, maybe. Are you busy? Could you do something extra for me? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But see, that's actually a good one. Because then you have somebody else come up to you. Hey, are you able to do this? Yup.
Yeah.
And so then you've got two things that you got to do. Yeah. And then maybe that snowballs or something, and then they all of a sudden say, oh, you know, Kembe, you're not getting your work done. I asked you to do this ages ago, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
And then they might be like, can you not handle your workload? In which you would say probably at that time yes, even though normally you'd be like, oh no, you know, and then you just cram for a little while.
But here's the thing, I think this is too literal. The idea isn't that you have to answer yes to every question. It's that you need to say yes to opportunity. If someone comes up and goes, did you murder this woman? You don't have to be like, yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I think that, okay. So it doesn't work for when they ask you to if you are overworked or something. Yeah. But it's still relevant if they ask you to do more work.
Yes, correct.
But then I think that that's kind of, you would still get into trouble, I think, by doing that too much.
But you could reasonably say, oh, look, people just keep asking me to do extra work, and I kept saying yes.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, well, don't do that.
Okay. And you say yes. I wonder if it's like things like people always ask if I want more. I reckon I would eat more.
Yeah.
If you want more food.
That's true.
Yes, yeah. Please.
I think we'd be safe because it's not often that do people say to us, hey, do you want to do this heroin?
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I can't think of any vices that people really offer me that much. Maybe I'd probably drink a bit more.
Yeah.
People sometimes go, hey, do you want a beer? And I'd be like, oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe I just drink a little bit more. But
otherwise, just be okay.
Yeah, just eat more.
Because then
more.
After a while, people are like, Cambo, you've had enough.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I think at some point your life would turn to shit. Because it only takes one person. And you know when some people are being like, sometimes even polite about something? Like, for example, they might not want you to... You might like meet a girl that you're interested in. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And... Or maybe she's interested in you and you're not interested in her. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, hey, do you want to come to my art show? And then I reckon then you kind of get stuck in this because then you'd be like, yes, okay. And then you get stuck talking to this person that you don't really like.
Yeah.
And then I think that and then your experiences from then on is like, it's almost like new interaction with people as well. I think you're more likely to get people going, giving you opportunities.
So you think that if you, in this hypothetical, this girl that you weren't interested in, you've kind of accidentally got into a relationship with from saying yes.
Yeah.
And then down the line, she's like, I'm thinking maybe we should get married. And you have to be like, yes.
Yes.
And then you're stuck in a loveless marriage.
Kids. Yeah. It just keeps going on.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Mm.
That's how it would end. Yeah.
Divorce would be easy.
Yeah.
If she's like, this isn't working out, I think we should get a divorce.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Oh, my God. I've been waiting years to say yes to that. I kept writing it down on a piece of paper, just hoping that you'd accidentally read it one day and I would say yes. Okay, mate. I'll do one more.
Okay.
This is by Set. Wait. Am I doing the right one? Oh, yeah. Okay. This is by Sam Waba, 98. I'll be slightly disappointed if there isn't a nightclub in San Francisco named San Francisco. Yep. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Pretty much. I think if there isn't, we should start it.
How do
you think about that?
San Francisco is kind of like the gay capital of America. I feel like there's definitely a San Fran disco.
Yeah, that's true.
In there.
There's no chance that there isn't.
There's a section of San Francisco called the Gayborhood, which is like...
Right.
Obviously, it's what really it
happy
like.
People.
Yeah. Surely San Fran disco exists somewhere.
Yeah.
San Fran disco exists is actually a complicated sentence to say when you're as tired as I am.
San Francisco exists. Yeah, okay. Okay, but... Well, that was... Chow thoughts.
Yeah.
Forgot what we were up to.
Yeah.
I'm tired as well, okay?
All right, it's been a long day.
Let's get into Ask Reddit. Do-do-do-do, Ask Reddit. This Ask Reddit is by Skintown Lad. What part of aging do you wish someone had warned you about?
Ooh. Look, probably metabolism. But I feel like people did warn me about metabolism.
Okay.
Every old person's like, one day your metabolism will give out and then you'll be fat.
Do you know what? It's not that that doesn't happen, but it doesn't have to do with your metabolism. Fun fact.
Oh, interesting. What does it have to do with?
I think it just has to do with the growth of your body, which isn't actually metabolism. But... Anyway, fun fact. Turns out metabolism... I only learned this not that long ago. That metabolism is... So, you know, they say like, oh, if you have high metabolism, you eat a lot. You have a high metabolism, your body processes stuff faster.
Yeah.
The people that have the highest metabolism, super obese people.
Really?
Yeah. They have the highest metabolism over anyone.
Huh.
And so, it's still relevant if you're like a bodybuilder, you know, because... those tiny little things that you do, and because you're working out so much, right, like that actually impacts it. But for everybody else, it's just like this old wives' tale, because the theory behind it is correct, but it's just such a minuscule difference that it doesn't affect anything. So it's just so like it's kind of the same with you know, if you're super starving, your metabolism slows down. But that's if you're super starving. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not just this in between, oh, I haven't eaten breakfast or something. You know, it's that's not really what happens. Anyway, side fact for you.
But
I do agree that idea of like, you know, getting your body doesn't, it starts retaining all the food you've eaten.
And you always hear people that say, I wish I had got in shape back when I was 25. Which makes me think that I should do that, because then later on I'm not like, when I was in my mid-20s, I could have done it.
Yeah. I think mine's a little bit more generic.
Yeah.
It's that nobody really warns you that everything is permanent that you do. You can't undo anything, you know?
Well, but have you done anything?
They sort of imply that with everything, right? This is why it's super generic.
What are you alluding to? Surely that means you've done something that is now permanent that you can't undo.
Well, I mean, even like using the gaining weight as an example.
Yeah.
And the idea of... Yeah, I don't know. It's like the consequences of your actions is permanent. In the sense of... Okay, I'm not going to do the weight thing because that's a little bit different. Because that can fluctuate, I guess, if you want to work out lots. But like your choices in life when it comes to a job or something.
Right, okay.
Or you might say to yourself, oh, I'm not going to do this just yet because I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready to try harder at work and get a promotion because I'm not ready for it yet. And then I think it's like that concept of, but time still moves on.
Yeah.
While you say that.
Okay.
And then you've lost that opportunity.
Gotcha.
Potentially later on.
And that's permanent. Right.
And that's hard. It's a hard concept to probably explain to somebody.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't hear it that often. And it's not that I'm necessarily saying, oh, I have all these regrets in my life and I can't take anything back. As we've spoken about, I think at least twice before, maybe three times, we don't sort of believe in regrets in the sense that everything we've done has shaped us to the people that we are, and we're okay with the people that we are. But I think there is something about the idea of you should be taking advantage of everything as it comes up. Say yes more.
No, I was going to say, are you saying you should say yes to opportunities?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it sort of comes to that.
Yeah, I think it was Richard Branson. His quote was always, if an opportunity arises and you don't know how to do it, say yes now, figure it out later.
Right, yeah. That's a fake it till you make it is almost very similar sort of saying.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good saying. Because often a lot of people do that. A lot of rich, successful people do that. In fact, I was reading... Thank You Water.
Yep.
And the Thank You brand.
Yep. Yeah, their book, Chapter One.
Chapter One, yeah. I read some of that.
Yep.
and that was interesting because it spoke about essentially they did that. They just did fake to make it. They went to Vizzy, which is like the container company, to get the bottles in the first place. Yep. And the Vizzy kind of asked them all these questions. Can you do this? Can you do that? Yep. They asked for like 1 million bottles and they laughed at them. And then they ended up getting like 200,000, which is way more than they sort of should have anyway. And then it was kind of like all these like deadlines that they had to get to rushing up really quick. But they just kept saying, yep, we can do it, you know. And then they eventually did, you know. And they're now a much hugely successful brand. I think that sort of thing you don't totally get warned about.
But again, I think you're right. Yeah.
It's hard to
so all the young people out there listening, was your message everything is permanent, so say yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. Good one. Glad we got that across. Okay, I have another Ask Reddit here. This is by Original Outdoors. You will win $1 million if you walk outside sometime in the next hour and not go back inside a building for the next month. What's your plan?
Okay. In an hour.
Yeah.
This is where it gets technical.
Yeah.
Because what is a building? Is it permanently stuck, right?
So you're thinking like tent or something?
Well, I feel like within the hour, I could organize some kind of a caravan.
Caravan, I think, would be fine. I wouldn't classify that as a building. You tell me your ideas. I'll give you the yay or nay.
Okay, right. I would.
Like tent, I think, is fine. I wouldn't.
Yeah. No, see, I would, because then I could still get to and from, you know, like work and whatnot.
You can't go inside.
That's true. I could get someone to throw my laptop out.
Yeah. But you have to work from your caravan on the side street.
I could still get around places if I needed to.
Get to other outdoor places.
Yeah.
Or driving. The botanical gardens.
Still go to the shops in your house. Yeah, I'd probably caravan it for a month.
Okay. Yeah, caravan's a pretty good option. You would struggle with... Okay, yeah. I'm thinking...
Because I feel like most caravans have some kind of power supply as well.
Yeah, so you'd have to make sure that, I guess... Yeah, you could park it somewhere where you... Actually, I think that's just what I'd do, basically, right? I would... Okay, within an hour... Oh, but I don't know if I could get a caravan in an hour.
I think you could organize on the phone and say, have it outside for me. I'm going to pick it up.
That's true. All I need is my phone. Okay, yeah. I'd take my phone outside with me. So yeah, okay, that's good.
You could have your devices if you had power to your caravan.
Just
charge them.
So then this is my plan.
Yep.
We're using your plan also.
Okay.
Is...
And I'll say yay or nay.
Go downstairs. I'm upstairs from a Coles. Go downstairs.
Yay.
Spend 55 minutes buying as much food as possible.
Right.
Like cans of stuff.
Yep.
Like the home brand Four Beans. Yeah. And then go outside with the trolley. Wait for the caravan to turn up.
Yep.
Put it in there. Drive to a caravan park.
Yep.
And then just live there permanently for a month.
Yeah.
And just do nothing.
Yeah. Watch Netflix on your iPad or something.
Not even. I reckon I would use it as an opportunity to
unplug.
To unplug.
Right.
Do a bit of exercise. Run around a bit.
Well, I'd sleep a lot. A few years ago, we drove across the country.
That's true.
And that was a really nice opportunity to unplug, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because between, what was that really filthy town that we went to?
Yeah, I can't remember. And stuff? Yeah, I can't remember.
Between that town, the mining town,
and Sid Junior?
Adelaide, essentially, you just had no signal.
Yeah.
And it was nice. You genuinely just... talked and looked at the stars and went for walks. And
yeah.
It's lovely. Don't know why we came back.
Yeah, I know. We mentioned that. It was such a good experience. We wanted to do it again.
Yeah.
Really. And so I think I'd use that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And then when I got back with my $1 million, I'd buy all this materialistic stuff.
So many drones.
All the technology. pretty much. But yeah. Alrighty. Well, that was Ask Reddit Cambo.
Yeah.
But guess what? We've got one of our love you questions.
Ah, lovely.
A lot of them dubbing it. This is, for those people that don't know, is we've been doing a series of questions for 12 weeks now. Yep. This is our 12th week.
Yep.
And it's some questions some scientific guy came up with that said, if you do these questions with your partner, you'll fall in love with him.
Correct.
With him or her. I said him because I was looking at you.
That was a Freudian slip.
Yep. I'm a gay. all right. The question is, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Ooh. Quality or ability. Probably, I'm not good at, in the job that I currently work, there's a lot of like business reporting.
Okay. Do you need help with spreadsheets?
No, what I need help with is like breaking things down to KPIs and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm just not good at it.
I would put that under the heading of bullshitting.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And I can bullshit in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like I could talk my way out of a lot of things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or I can talk about a subject I have no idea about pretty confidently. But this kind of corporate bullshitting.
It's a lot harder with like figures and stuff and looking at things the right way. In fact, one of the guys that I used to work for, of that second company, he was the worst manager I reckon I've ever had in the history of working at the cinema or anywhere, probably. He was just so terrible. But he kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted and became one of the head sort of managers, I guess you could say. Because he was really good with sort of faking his numbers in a way.
Yeah.
Not faking them, but just looking at them in a different angle and being like...
It's just corporate bullshitting.
Yeah.
Essentially. I wish I was better at that. I have no idea how to do it.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I would probably even say mine's similar in a way. Freezing time.
Okay,
right. No, okay. I'm not going to go superpower or ability. No, mine is I think more to do with sales. I wish I was a better salesman.
Okay.
Because I think sales is, I don't know, I kind of like it, but I'm just not very good at it. And I think people that are good at sales they actually better communicators anyway, in just their everyday life. So I think if you're good at sales, then you're sort of naturally good at other things in your life, like conversation and
I get that. It's a skill that's applicable to other areas of your life.
I think so anyway, but okay.
Or good. Piano, if good. I could play piano,
actually instruments would be a good one. Just anything, any sort of music instrument. So I don't look like an idiot. Well, listeners, write in. What would your quality or ability, what would that be?
Yeah, exactly.
What if, it says like quality, what if your quality was like just super lovable? You just woke up one day and everybody just loved you.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. If everyone loved you, I feel like you'd turn into a smug prick. I think you need
to. Yeah, but that's fine. Everybody loves you.
That's true, yeah.
You love you.
It's true, yeah.
So there are no downsides.
I forgot about me loving me. Yeah. That would be nice, actually. Because
at the moment, I hate myself.
Oh, my God. What a disappointment I am.
All right. Well, now it's that time of the show where we do the AMA, Ask Me Anything or Ask Us Anything. Where listeners of the show, just like you, can write in and ask us anything you want. Kemba, who have you got for your question?
I got Jake.
Okay.
And Jake wants to know, what book do you wish would be turned into a movie? I think we've answered something similar before.
Yeah, I can't remember. Not this, though, but something similar.
Yeah. I know that
what movie do you want to turn into a book?
My answer is something we've talked about before.
Yeah.
If I could make any movie or have any movie turned into a book, I would choose Marching Powder. Which is a book that we've both read.
Have we spoken about this book? Because that was going to be my answer.
All right.
Now I have to think of another one. Okay.
My answer used to always be Preacher.
Yeah.
Which is a comic book series that I love. It's my favorite comic book.
Yeah.
But they have since made it into a TV series. I don't really like it. So now I'm not sure whether I would want Marching Powder turned into a movie or not.
Yeah.
Because if you love it so much, maybe you don't want to be disappointed.
I was thinking about that as well. Yeah. This question sort of kind of
alludes to... It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. You risk something getting ruined.
Yeah. And because I'm well aware that, one, in an adaptation, you do need to change things sometimes. And I'm completely fine with that. But two, sometimes things just shouldn't be... adapted. Sometimes their best format is what they were originally in.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, now this has got me thinking about, because I'm not much of a reader these days anyway, really. So I'm thinking about those books that I know I'm not going to read, but people have like recommended.
Okay, right. So it'd be your way of reading them without having to read them.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I'm like, well, I can't be disappointed because I haven't read them.
Okay.
So a good example already, I think, is Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah.
And obviously, I think I watched it before I even really knew it was a book. Oh, I probably just knew at the same time it sort of came out. But that's a good example because I like the Game of Thrones series.
Yeah.
But you're not going to read it. But I'm not going to read those books. So.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have to think about something like that. It'd probably be Philip K. Dick.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, although I've read a lot of his stuff, so I don't actually know. Actually, I just thought of one. This is one that I used to read as a kid.
Right.
I don't think it's been adapted into anything. It's called Artemis Fowl.
Ah, yes. Yes, I know Artemis Fowl.
It's about like a kid genius spy thing and stuff like that. I think that could be sort of an interesting... Mm. Interesting one.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh, how about George Orwell's 1981? What is it?
1985.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That has been turned into a movie.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it has.
Yeah. To varying degrees of success.
Mm.
Yeah. But probably if I could make a movie out of a book, I would want to make Marching Powder because then I could, you know,
thank you.
I could make the movie I want to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But as far as adaptation, yeah, I'm probably with you. Something I wouldn't read anyway, so just adapt the crap out of it. I don't care.
Exactly. Do whatever.
Yeah.
Seems it would be just as good.
Adapt all the Harry Potter you want.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so you've got that. You've got that to fall back onto. Radio. I have a question here from Rowan. Gentlemen. So this was from a couple of weeks ago when he was asking, when I spoke about I did a sensory deprivation chamber thing.
Okay.
He said, I received a voucher for a sensory deprivation float for Xmas and I'm yet to use it. Funny that someone wasted it by falling asleep during their float.
Yeah,
some idiot fell asleep. I once fell asleep while in the dentist chair getting a filling. That's a much better experience to miss. Yeah, for sure. That's how did you fall asleep?
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's really crazy. I must have been really tired and decided to go to the dentist.
Like, I know the doctor is boring to go to, but...
Yeah.
I mean, geez, they're drilling your mouth.
Yeah. Show him some respect, if anything. Just fell asleep in front of the dentist. Okay, his question is, I am an atheist and believe all supernatural claims to be absolute rubbish until proven otherwise.
Well, we don't on this podcast. We love spiritual things.
Oh, yeah. I think God is great. And
we love ghosts.
Yeah. Yes. All that stuff. I was pondering heaven recently and was thinking living in a sin-free place for eternity actually sounds more like hell.
Yeah.
How do you achieve anything where everything is perfect all the time?
Mm-hmm.
What would you talk about? What would give you pleasure? I'm sure there's some examples, but how long would that last? The first 100 to 200 years? Then what? Not to mention the knowledge you would have that the people you loved on earth who weren't religious are now suffering in hell. Thoughts?
I think this is a really good point.
Yeah.
I think that sin is... kind of like a necessity in life, you know, not to the point where, you know, you should go around murdering people. But if you, like, obviously the things you enjoy the most are kind of, you know, a little sinful.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Like, I guess like alcohol or something people try. And it's not even like, I don't know, it's not the like, oh man, I'm going to get to heaven and just drink a lot. But it's like, well, if there's a party in heaven, am I allowed to have a drink there? I don't know. Probably. Actually, I don't think that's a sin. But, you know, I'd want to bang all the chicks there and not marry them.
Exactly.
That would be a problem.
You're not trying to procreate.
Yeah.
Trying everything you can not to procreate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. But, it does sound awful, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think that that is a problem, and it is that idea because obviously, you know, I agree with Rowan. I think we both agree with Rowan, and we don't believe in any of this stuff at all. And I always like to look at. I know people don't like the film, but The Man Who Invented Lying,
right.
Ricky Gervais's one, is basically all about how religion could have possibly existed, essentially, and you know, at the beginning, he talks about heaven because he's just trying to comfort his dying mother.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's like religion got caught in a lie in itself.
Mm.
And it was just that idea of, you know, because in this movie, he says, oh, does that mean rapists go to heaven? He's like, oh, well, no, not, you know, not rapists, not murderers. They go somewhere else, you know. And it's just this thing that hasn't been thought through.
Yeah.
The idea of, oh my God, yeah, this is great, wonderful place. Oh, we can't all go there because we don't want all the bad people to go there.
Yeah.
So then, oh, let's have this sin-free world. And just that idea, I think, and then that is perhaps what hasn't been questioned for hundreds of years or whatever throughout religion is what does it really mean to live in a sin-free world?
Mm-hmm.
I think nobody has just questioned that. It's just... Which, I mean, people don't question a lot of things about religion in general. But I don't know. I just think it's, yeah, it's a good point. I think that the idea of heaven is terrible. And even thinking about the idea of, it's about people that you can die at any age.
Yeah.
So it's not just once you've lived your entire life and you're wiser or whatever. You've got like 3-year-old kids that are in heaven,
yeah,
theoretically. And what does their heaven represent? And they don't know, they wouldn't know sin, what that actually is, you know, from one thing from the other. Like even telling a lie. And in fact, that's actually a good one in itself, I reckon. I'm all for honesty, and I think the world would be a much better place if everybody was just completely honest with each other.
Yeah.
Because I think just the world would totally change. But the world as it is now, I think lying is necessity. you know, and like white lies, as people call them, because you can help not hurt somebody's feelings, or you know, can just help ease a conversation or something like that. But if that is considered, well, it is considered as lying as a sin, then what? Like, you're just living in this weird world where, I guess, yeah, it'd just be so exclusive as well. It's people I wouldn't want to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly.
You're too honest with me.
It's like, I think everyone grew up knowing that one kid from the religious family that was kind of like a goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
And whenever you're around, you kind of felt a bit crap.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's so good and he's so nice. But you're being surrounded by those people all the time for all of eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Thank you. actually, it's funny. I was going to mention, so Rowan is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
His sister, devout Christian.
Ah, that is interesting.
Completely opposite, I reckon. But hey, they still love each other and stuff.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, as much as we don't believe in religion, I also don't judge anyone by what they believe in.
Yeah.
You can believe in whatever you want.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I don't understand how you could possibly believe in this, but that's fine. Yeah. You're allowed to.
And in the same way, I'm like, hey, explain to me how Jesus works.
Mm.
They'd be like, hey, explain to me how the universe was created. And I wouldn't be able to explain it any better than they could explain how Jesus worked. Like, there was something about a Big Bang or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That is a good point. But I always like the argument to that is like, well, the thing is that I could, you know, I know Stephen Hawking has done the research to try and prove, and you could go through his research and his notes and potentially come up to the same conclusion. But you sort of don't really have that.
No.
Especially when the Bible in different variations are so contradictory, not to mention the fact that there's multiple religions.
Right.
So when they can contradict each other, it's like, well, what really is, you know, what you're believing in? It's only a certain percentage of people. Why did God, if he created everything, only, you know, show himself to a certain number of people? Why did he create these other religions, you know?
It's and I guess my point is with atheism, because we're both atheists, is be an atheist, that's fine. Just don't be a smug atheist.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah. I didn't
like, oh, you're a Buddhist, eh? Oh, that's cute. Like, don't be that guy.
Yeah, because I actually think that there are some things that, you know, religion really does help some people totally and completely. To not think of anything specific, but I know that people that have been like drug addicts and thing have found God and turned their life around.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's awesome. I only dislike religion where it leads to things like violence and wars, which a lot of wars have been done over religion, and things that, you know, the... even things like gay rights and stuff like that. Like Christians obviously say, oh, that's a sin, you know. Gays are a sin. Like, that annoys me because it's like, it just doesn't even affect you at all. No. Has nothing to do with anything.
The famous thing is it's like saying, you can't eat that cake because I'm on a diet.
Yeah.
Stopping people getting married to the same sex when you're not yourself, you know, gay.
Exactly.
What does it matter?
Yeah. It's just so stupid. Anyway, but that's only the only times where I really have a problem with religion, when it like affects other people, essentially.
It affects others, I agree.
Cool. Well then, I guess that sums up another bloody show, Camber.
Oh, we're just ripping through these.
Oh yeah.
We're in episode 50 before we know it.
Yep.
And then I think we did some maths. It's like...
Yeah, it's like
September 11th.
Yeah, September, oh, here it is, September 11th. Oh, God. But anyway, we'll... No, I'm not even going to say anything about that at all, because that will get me in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Horrible thing what happened is all I'm going to say. Horrible thing. Okay. If you would like to write into this, you can do so at Reddit Podcast, readitpodcast@gmail.com.
Correct.
You can also reach us at Facebook, Twitter, and our subreddit, readit podcast, are all those ones.
Yep. Also, look us up on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn.
We might be on there.
We are. Yeah, I put us a profile.
Sweet. Offers a job.
Elon Musk was our first follower.
I don't get what LinkedIn is, but I'm all about having our show on there.
I think it's such a massive wank. Sorry to anybody listening who uses it.
Or people that have looked us up on LinkedIn.
Or people who looked us up. I did do a profile when I was, you know, my last job, but I haven't even bothered updating it.
Yeah.
It just seems like this massive circle jerk, I think is the technical term. Okay. You know, where it's like
the business
you
term.
Support other people and they support you, but it's just so fake because you're like, you're not really doing it for each other in most cases. I think that there is some genuine use out of it, but a lot of it is just wanking bullshit. But anyway, we're on there. Not really, we're not.
And if you want to get wanked, that's what Tinder's for.
Exactly. That's what I use it for anyway. I mean, I look at photos and then wank.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will read you later.